Hello, and welcome to the AgTech So What podcast. Emerging technologies are rapidly changing the global agricultural industry, and we believe that this revolution is only getting started. But there's still too much hype out there and too big of a disconnect between ag and ag tech. So on this show, we try to bridge that gap. In each episode, we bring you the story of a different innovator in agriculture and try to find the place where ag and tech meet. I'm your host, Sarah Nolette. Today's episode is something a little bit different. It's a live interview I did with two Australian farmers, Ash and David, who've decided to start off-farm businesses using technology. That's right, they're ag tech startup founders, in addition to being producers. Ash and David are part of the Farmers to Founders Bootcamp, a three-month program designed for producers to help them grow their businesses. There are eight teams participating in the bootcamp program right now. Some have businesses in ag tech, like Ash and David, while others are value-adding to their produce, creating food and cosmetic products. The Farmers to Founders Bootcamp is a super intense four-day in-person program. When we caught up with Ash and David, they were just starting day four. Before we jump into my chat with Ash, I'll just apologize about the audio quality for my voice. The guests sound great, but I only had one mic with me, so we had to improvise a bit on my end, and it didn't work out that great. That said, we still think the interviews are awesome and wanted to get them to you. So sorry about my audio, and here's Ash.
I'm from Dubbo in Central West New South Wales, and I'm from a mixed farm that I run with my husband. So cropping mainly, and then sheep as well. So coming to Farmers to Founders to pursue an idea on an ag tech startup, which I guess is a bit more of an idea at the moment, but extremely exciting.
So tell me a bit more about the farm. How long have you guys been farming there?
So we have just been at Trangie, west of Dubbo,
for 10 years.
I think we're still new in country terms. I'm originally from Coonamble and grew up there, and my family have been there for as long as I can remember.
Farming there as well?
Farming there as well.
I remember one time I was in Wagga Wagga and I caught a cab, and the woman was like, I asked her where she was from, the cabbie, and she's like, or I said, are you from Wagga? And she's like, no, I've only been here 32 years. Like, right, I clearly have come from a different context.
I think you're still new at 32 years too. So I'm not sure when I'll become part of the furniture in Trangie, but I'm working on it, and it's a lovely town. So hopefully that will be soon.
Tell me about how you got started with the training paddock. Like, was there a moment where you said, we got to build a tech business? But
I don't know if it was that light bulb moment. It was more my family and I were persuaded to go to a seminar by our then bank manager, and really didn't want to go. We didn't want to go anyway. He said, oh, look, come, please come. I need some people. So we went, and we had this challenge to find or isolate something that was really hard for people in rural Australia, especially in farming and agribusinesses. And then from there, I took a video, 3-minute feature video, which is something I don't usually do, just on my phone randomly, and sent it to the New South Wales DPI. And here we are 18 months later, going through a couple of different programs and testing the idea and in the process of making the tech platform. And yeah.
I asked Ash exactly what she took a video of. Was it her, or was it people experiencing the problem she wanted to solve?
I took a video of myself just rambling in my sort of dry paddock with a bit of wind, and there's some sheep in the background, and looked very bland. And I wanted to explain how we could empower people and highlight that the skills in agriculture and other careers are just as important and valued as every other career, such as an academic career.
Yeah, right. And you are a teacher, right?
Teacher, yes.
One of the things that you said earlier that I love was I learned as a teacher to never show weakness, which was funny in context of having some investors come in today.
Yes, can't show weakness in front of anyone, but behind closed doors, it's a bit of a different story. But I think it's one thing that I learned early on, that you need to be resilient in getting what you think is the best thing and pushing forward with ideas and passions and dreams.
Totally. It's so interesting. The reason I was excited about Farmers to Founders and getting involved was seeing so many parallels between farmers and entrepreneurs, that they're people running businesses, they're people managing risk, they're people just taking on a lot, doing big and ambitious, impressive things. And so having farmers that are founders is so awesome. And obviously working with people like you, have you found similarities in kind of farming and being a founder?
I think you said risk, and yes, there's always an element of risk that you have to manage. A lot of us who are in farming or run farm businesses, I guess, don't see them as businesses, which I think leads us to be people who get up every morning with a fierce passion and fire to make things happen that day, and we just get on with it and do it. And I think that that's something you need to be an entrepreneur as well, because sometimes it is really, really hard. But I think every time that it gets hard, you end up going back and walking away for a minute and then coming back, and there's always that same passion and drive to get something done. So yeah, similar.
One of the things I loved was yesterday we were talking a little bit about some of your potential customers and just how painful the problem is that they have. And it was cool to see the kind of light come on in your eyes about just solving that problem, like clearly passionate about taking away that pain. Do you want to talk a little bit about the problem that you solve with Training Paddock?
Well, yeah, I like solving problems. I think that comes from being in a farming background. I think someone said that once we were the original entrepreneurs in the world as farmers. So maybe I'm carrying that torch through into technology. I think Training Paddock had a real desire to bring technology to create more transparent records and trustful skilled-based profiles of the people that were in skilled-based careers. We had a couple of approaches. One business comes to mind about them manually hiring someone to go through Excel sheets of skills and training and certifications of, you know, 300 employees. And if anyone can imagine themselves sitting in front of a spreadsheet with columns of dates and ticks and yeses and nos and having someone go through that, it's pretty painful. So that's what we're trying to solve. We're trying to make it quick and easy.
It took me a while to get my head around this, but basically Ash explained that many businesses need to actually prove that they have certain records and certifications for their employees to be able to even do certain jobs. So for example, a mining company might need records of training or qualifications before staff can even get onto a job site. And right now, those records are managed manually through spreadsheets. So it's really inefficient, and there's a huge issue with these certificates getting lost. But it's not just other businesses that Ash has met that have this problem. Ash's family has actually experienced this challenge firsthand.
Yeah, my husband got turned away the other day. So we were eligible to work with the LLS to get some baiting to overcome feral pigs that were eating all of the drought fodder at the moment out there. And he drove all the way into town ready to pick it up, and he couldn't find his chem cert certificate, and he was sure that he had it, and I know that he has it, but he ended up having to turn around and leave the chemical there because he didn't have that certificate. So they're the sorts of problems we're trying to overcome. Something that's quick and easy on your phone or your tablet at home in your computer that you can use whenever you need them.
So where is Training Paddock up to, and how can you learn more if you're keen to follow Ash's journey?
So we are ready to put some trials on in February, which is really exciting. And in the meantime, we've got our website up where you can put in your inquiry details and keep following us on Facebook, social media, and LinkedIn, which is great. www.trainingpaddock.com.au.
Awesome. Cool.
Thanks.
My second chat was with David Ricardo, founder of Farm Service Manager. David, like Ash and all of the other producers we work with at Farmers to Founders, is solving a problem that he himself has experienced. But before we get to that, we'll hear a bit more about David, his background and his farm.
I'm a farmer at Walgett in northern New South Wales, going through a terrible drought right now. But one good positive thing that's coming out of it is a new app that I'm developing.
So before we get into Farm Service Manager, we want to hear a little bit more about the farm. So what do you farm out there?
Well, in a normal season, we grow wheat and barley, chickpeas, canola, sometimes, faba beans, and we've started growing dryland cotton in the last few seasons.
And how long have you been on the farm?
Well, since I was a boy. 30-odd years in the Walgett district.
David has seen things change quite a bit over the last 30 years.
A lot of our farming practices have changed a lot. Zero-till and crop rotation. We're doing all sorts of things from our conventional tillage methods from, 25, 30 years ago.
you're pretty into technology, it sounds like. I mean, not everyone builds an app. Are you into technology on the farm as well?
Certainly, yeah. GPS steering and all of that's just sort of a pretty common thing these days. Camera sprays, yeah, we're looking forward to going fully automated in the next few years, I guess, when it's commercially available with our tractors. We've got the economies of scale out there on some broad acres, long runs, just a perfect fit for automated tractors one day.
So tell me about the story behind Farm Service Manager. How did you go from just farming and thinking about farming to I'm going to build an app and a tech business?
Basically, we've got a lot of machinery on farm, and I rely a lot on service records to keep that machinery in good order. And, of course, I had a problem a couple of years ago in losing the service logbook out of the workshop. That had all our records in it. So that was a big loss.
When you say logbook, I'm thinking like a notebook that fits in your pocket and you're writing down like when you change the oil, when you change the filters. Is that what you mean?
Our service logbook was, we had pages on every machine, a huge amount of detail in terms of the work done and who did the work, spare parts, even tyre sizes, lots of detail, a wealth of information on every machine we ran.
So it must have been like horrible when you lost it. What did that feel like?
Well, it was. We spent a bit of time looking for it, and yeah, of course, it turned up 6 months later behind the seat of someone's ute. But at that point, many records were lost, and so look, I made the decision then. There's got to be a better way. The old line,
yeah,
good old farmer ingenuity to fix a problem. I wanted to ensure we didn't lose the logbook again. I built a digital logbook.
So, how did you go on the journey of figuring out how to actually build software?
Well, it was a long journey. I thought I could do it on the cheap with a programmer and soon found that not everybody knows everything about Android and iOS and web-based applications. So I set about, well, after spending some time going down one path, I dropped the idea thinking it was just too hard. Came back to it 6 months later thinking there's nothing in the space that fits the kind of application I needed.
So you had actually had a bit of a look around at, you know, was there something off the shelf you could buy and you couldn't find anything?
Nothing for the situation. We've got a couple of farms 20 k's apart. I needed an application that was accessible by all my team and something that was mobile. So an app ticked all the boxes at the time.
And the equipment companies and stuff would have their own kind of apps and things to help with service, but I imagine they don't have anything that goes across different brands that you could use kind of for anything. Is that
true? Yeah. Most manufacturers are working on apps these days that are based on telemetry systems. Farm Service Manager can set notifications to the next service without the use of telemetry. So at a time when everything's heading that way, yeah, we're sort of steering away from telemetry. Of course, there's a high cost associated with that. And I guess the big thing is that there's no way you'd put telemetry on a cultivator or a slasher or a small pump or compressor. So there's a cost problem there.
I was joking with you and your wife, Sue, who's here as well, earlier this week about my dad on our very much hobby farm, but who's got all kinds of equipment. And I guarantee he's got no kind of record for anything because he's the one that goes to the auction and thinks he can get something so cheap. But I guarantee it doesn't come with a record. He probably gets screwed over every time.
That's a big problem generally. Resale value, you know, is maximized when you've got a service history. It's another bargaining chip. And, yeah, you'll have to tell your father about the app.
So he's over in the US. Do you have customers for the app or just in Australia or can you use it elsewhere?
I've got customers almost on every continent now. We've got the majority in Australia, of course, but North America is coming on board quite a lot in the US and Canada and Europe and even South America now.
And what's it been like building the app and building this business? Have you found that it's easier than being a farmer, harder than being a farmer? Any kind of parallels between the two?
Well, it's been difficult. The learning curve on some of this technology and even the jargon, the tech speak, has been hard to get my head around at times.
It's a funny one. Sue was the one that said earlier this week to myself when I was explaining one of the exercises we were doing, she's like, you got to slow down and stop talking so fast because it's like you're speaking a whole other language, which I'm sure it feels like. And to be fair, you know, when if I'm with a bunch of farmers and they're getting pretty deep into, you know, agronomy or something like that, it can equally feel like another language for people coming from the tech side. So, yeah, it's definitely a bit of a challenge. Do you find that the challenges in thinking about growing Farm Service Manager as a business are exciting, are scary, are...
Well, it's an exciting time for sure. There are so many opportunities out there. And this boot camp with Farmer to Founder over the last 4 days has just opened up so many new windows I never knew existed. So I'm looking forward to, you know, the next 3 months of intensive marketing changes and things that we're doing to excel in the business.
What's maybe one thing that you've learned this week or one thing you're excited to put into practice over the coming months?
Well, I like the idea of content, blog posts and so on.
You mean like podcasts, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll have a go at that sometime. But so many avenues, honestly, in testing what works and what doesn't and having a better understanding about my customers and their users, because not everyone is a farmer. There's a lot of operators out there, employees working for farmers that are actually doing the hard yards when it comes to service, changing oils and filters and daily inspections and so on.
Where can people find more about Farm Service Manager?
Well, they can try the App Store or Google Play to download the app. There's also our website, farmservicemanager.com. Gives a pretty good description.
Awesome, David. Well, thanks so much for chatting.
Well, thanks very much, Sarah. It's been a pleasure.
That's it for now from two of the producer-led teams in the Farmers to Founders Bootcamp. But we'll chat with David and Ash again to see how they're going, and we'll also catch up with some of the other teams in the bootcamp in a future episode. In the meantime, to learn more about Farmers to Founders, which is a joint venture of AgThentic, meaning a lot of our team, including myself, works in that business as well. You can check out farmers2founders.com. So farmers, the number two, and then founders.com. Or follow us on Twitter at Farmers to Founder. We couldn't add that last S on the Twitter handle, so it's farmers2founders.com and just Farmers to Founder on Twitter. Catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Ag Tech So What. You can stay up to date with the latest episodes and news at agtechsowhat.com. And as always, if you have any feedback or other guests to recommend, we'd love to hear from you. Just hop on the website and leave us a comment or send us a message. Finally, if you like what you're hearing, and we hope you do, please share the podcast with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening. Catch you next time.